of New Year's Eve tradition and you took that.
Yeah.
Might just bring your bottle over to it. I don't think so. I'm sure you could hit it too. We were at their house one day shooting. Obviously, Miss Tina is an excellent shot.
Yeah.
But see, I'm better than you. Like, well, I wasn't trying to compete, Miss Tina. You guys heard of, what's her name? Annie Oakley?
Yeah.
One of the best sharpshooters of all time. She was a woman.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah. That could be a problem when you're talking about them having to apologize.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pastor did ask me last minute. It's been a little while since I've been up here. And, I'll admit I'm a little nervous, but that won't last long. As I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I really need a message, and I have my Bible open, listening to Pastor preach, and then, of course, with my ADD, I just zoned off and wrote my own sermon for the day. I stop occasionally. Okay, he's still preaching. I still have time, but I was going to do it later, and I discovered when God's speaking to you, you need to write down quickly, because we assume we're going to remember it, and we're not. We're going to forget. As I was looking at this passage, it really made me think about the busyness of the season. If you notice in verse 39 is where we'll begin. It's following the Christmas story. And this is going to talk about when he was 12 years old. You guys are aware, familiar with that. But notice in verse 39, it says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And of course, that's an amazing part of the story when Jesus is confounding the men around him that had spent years in the Word of God, and he just baffled them. But that's not what we want to talk about today. We'll continue on here. It says in verse 47, and all that heard, verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. That's talking about Mary and Joseph. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.
Hold on a second. I have lost my mic. Please, all right, we'll get back there.
And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother, he said, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrow. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And it's Christmas time, and it's a busy season. And I think what we often can do is get so busy that we misplace Jesus. So I'd like to talk about where to find Jesus when you've lost him. So let's pray. Lord, we just ask once again that you bless your word, that you allow it to speak to us, quicken us, and make us aware of your presence. And most importantly, if we've lost you somewhere, that you'll give us insight into Scripture on where to find you. And these things we pray, in your name we pray, amen. So as I was thinking about this again was, you know, they had just left the Passover feast. There's a lot of people there, people's everywhere. There's thousands of people go to Passover in Israel. So here they are in the middle of this city, and you know, they're assuming Jesus is somewhere with their family and friends. It was normal to hang out with family and friends, but it's time to leave, so they just make this assumption and they go on about their way. And so what we see here is that we have a tendency to lose Jesus in busy seasons. Notice in verse 43 and 44, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his Mary, and his mother Mary knew it, or his mother knew not of it. So what happened here is they had a lack of awareness of God's presence. God was in their midst, but he tarried. He stayed put. And they just made this assumption that Jesus was there and they were able to continue on without him. And so they thought, well, he's not with you. He must be with Joseph. He must be with Mary. I'm sure the two were thinking that. Or he's, you know, and each one probably thought, well, once they got back together, well, he must be among our kinsfolk somewhere, and they just continue on. So they assumed that God's presence was nearby. So what happens is they, you notice here in the text, it says they went a day's journey. They went an entire day without being cognizant of the fact that Jesus was no longer near. We have that tendency to slip away from Jesus. Jesus stays put somewhere, and we just slip away. And it's so easy to do, just to be so busy, we lose sight of that. And our minds have this ability to get so focused on ourselves and what we're doing that we lose focus on what God is doing. We lose awareness of the presence of God, and it's easy to do. I had a similar thing happen the other day. Me and my wife had this wonderful, loving disagreement, Sister Rachel. This was a wonderful disagreement that we had. It was very cordial. And what happened was, is Jatana was telling me something. I don't remember what it was, but she was telling me something. And I was listening intently, wanting to listen. This is true. My intent was true. I was wanting to listen. I had all the intent in the world to listen. I really did. When I say that, I mean that. My little dog, we have a Dachshund, she jumps up in my lap. And she begins to push me. That's how she'll talk to me. She'll say, hey, what's your attention? And she's wanting me to either feed her or give her water or let her out. One of the three. That's it. So she's doing that, and my wife realizes that I have lost focus. And she's had this, she's continued the conversation on for at least 5 minutes probably. Time has elapsed, but in my mind it was just a second. And that was it for the day. I was in the doghouse after that. But that's what happens. We get so wrapped up in what we're doing, we lose sight of God. And once we've lost sight of God, a lot of time can pass. A lot of time can pass. A lot of people spend time away from the Lord. You know, you can lose Him here. You can lose Him here. You can lose Him in your devotions, your Bible reading. You can lose Him there. We get in the Word and we forget that there's a presence that needs to be there when we do it. So they went an entire day. So we see that we have a lack of awareness, or we have a tendency to lose Jesus in busy seasons. We also have a tenacity to seek Him in all the wrong places. We just have this, I don't know what it is. I guess if we wanted to put our finger on it, we call it pride. There's just the tendency to want to do things our way. We have this tenacity that we're going to find Jesus, and we seek Him in all the wrong places. And notice in our text what it says, that after they realized He wasn't with them, they said, maybe He's in the company. Maybe he's amongst the kinsfolk, and they are looking for Him in all the wrong places. And we do the same thing. We need to be careful where we're looking for Him. They saw Him among the company, among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. Right now I'm going to college and I'm studying psychology, and one of the things I've realized is that psychologists are seeking for the love, peace, and joy in all the wrong places. That's one thing I have determined. You can find those things. You really can. We have to admit that. You can find peace and love, and I won't say if you can really find joy, because I think that's something that only God can give. But nonetheless, you can find those things, you know, the calmness. And we're trying to find it. All people look for it in drugs. They look for that peace in their work. They try to find that peace in what they do. They try to find the peace in the possessions that they have. They're seeking Jesus in all the wrong places. I'm reminded what 1 John says in verse 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I want to draw your attention to verse 16 there. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three things. The lust of the flesh is the desire to do, the action. That's our body. Our body's active. It's what does things. So that's the desire to do. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, is the desire to have. It's what we foresee. We want to have that. And the pride of life is the desire to be. and all these things. When you think about it, I try to look at it from the opposite as well when I'm reading it. When God says, love not the world, or when the Apostle John says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He calls it lust. Well, if you remove lust out of that equation and you say love God with all your desire to have, all your desire to be, and all your desire to do, that's not wrong. It's really not wrong. And I was telling our Sunday school kids today about this, that we have a tendency to want to do things with our body that we really need to bring under the control of the Spirit of God. We need to be before we do. We're human beings, not human doings. So here we're trying to find peace in all the wrong places. We're trying to find peace in our identity at work or in our children. And all these places is the wrong place to find it. So I want to give you some points tonight as we've talked about this tenacity to seek Him in all the wrong places. I want to give you a few tips to make the trip back shorter. Notice that they went a whole day. So that was wasted time. And then they go back into Jerusalem looking for Him still. I think we missed this part. They go back looking and they waste more time. You don't have to waste time if you've lost Jesus somewhere. Can a Christian lose Jesus? Mary and Joseph did. If Mary and Joseph can lose Jesus, we can too. But there's a fast route back, and there's a longer route. I was reading after a little bit after Adrian Rogers on this, but he says, where was he when you left him? You guys have heard that before, I'm sure. I mean, I have a little bit different perspective. I agree with that. Don't get me wrong, but I look at it from a little different light. It's not so much where was he when you left him? I think that is important to get. Most people, though, they're so focused on what they're doing when they are with God that's why they lose sight of Him. When you're at church and you're focused on what you're doing and you're near Him, where's He at? I think our focus needs to be on where He's at. So a shorter way back to God is our awareness. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. He was in the father's house. And what's he do? He leaves the father's house. He goes on a far journey into another country. And while he's away, he spends it all trying to find peace. And once he's spent it all and a famine hits, the Bible says he comes to himself. He has that moment of awareness, that moment when he realizes God's not there. He makes a beeline back to the father's house. He knows exactly where the father's at. But yet Mary and Joseph didn't. Well, why not? Well, notice what Jesus said in verse 49. He said, we were sorrowing. We're worrying about you. Where were you? And he goes, wished ye not? Wished ye not? If Jesus come close to backtalking, that's it right there, preacher. Let's break that down into modern language. Wist ye not? How could you not think? That's wist ye not. Can't you perceive? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? They could have found Him right in the Father's house. So they should have just made a beeline right there. I think the thing what we got to realize is if we're going to make a beeline back to the presence of God, that we have to have an awareness that He's not there to begin with. We need to be aware He's gone. D.L. Moody wrote this in his Bible next to this verse in verse 49. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He said this was the first recorded utterance of Jesus. His last is, it is finished. John 19:30. I think that ties together very nicely. What's the Father's business? Because that's where you're going to find Him. You want to find Jesus when you lose Him, you're going to find Him doing His Father's business every time. So what is His Father's business? Pastor, what's His Father's business? It is finished, he said. The work of redemption is the Father's business. And us Baptists, we talked about this morning as well, preacher. Us Baptists think sometimes we'll get active in soul winning and leave God at the church, or leave God away from somewhere. He's not in the church, but we leave Him. We go on about our way and we'll knock on those doors. And I think sometimes people get saved regardless, in spite of us. But the truth is He is about restoring man and woman, women back to Him. That is the Father's business, to restore the relationship that was severed. So if you want to find Jesus, and where is that relationship at? John chapter 3 tells us that Jesus said that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And my family and I were talking about this on the way in, about how the wind blows, and we can describe it. We'll describe it like the barometric pressure, where it's, what's it made of? It's made of oxygen, nitrogen, elements. But we really are still not describing it. We're missing. There's something missing. Like, we're not able to. Every time we try to wrap around it, we can't do it. And that's the same thing when we're talking about Spirit. We can try our best to define it, but what is it? It's consciousness. It's your ability to be conscious, and to be aware of your thoughts, and to be aware of what you're feeling, and to be aware of what you're experiencing. To transcend that. And I believe that's where God dwells when we're born again, a place of consciousness. We find that the writers, A.W. Tozer, C.H. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, you can search all these guys. They had this belief that the presence of God was something you could experience. Something that you could be aware of, the conscious expression of the conscious awareness of God's presence. I was thinking about this quote. I would have had it in here, but I had to take a nap. Naps were important. Tozer said, "The modern scientist has lost God amid the wonders of his world, and we Christians are in real danger of losing God amid the wonders of his word. We have almost forgotten that God is a person, and as such can be cultivated as any person can. It is inherent in personality to be able to know other personalities, but full knowledge of one personality by another cannot be achieved in one encounter. It is only after long and loving mental intercourse that the possibilities of both can be explored." I think we have done that often, as we'll lose God in the wonders of His Word. We'll lose God in the experiences we have at church, and then we'll go on about our busy lives and forget that He's near. So what do we need to do? We need to get back to what He's doing, His business. His business is restoring us to conformity to the image of God's Son. His business is also about seeing others come to that awareness that they need Him. So we need to cultivate that again. We need to get back to that place of awe. And I believe this, that when we get to heaven and we are spiritual beings, completely spiritual, we'll still have physical bodies, we get that, but the Spirit will lead us. I still don't think we'll be able to put our thumb on what Spirit is. But I think we'll be able to fully experience awe and to live in that experience. We'll be able to be in awe at all times. To be able to be in wonder at God the whole time. And we won't lose Him. We won't lose that conscious awareness of Him, just like I did of my wife when she was telling me something very important. I still don't remember what it was because she wouldn't repeat herself. I tried asking, "Honey, tell me. What did you say?" It was too late. I was like Esau, trying to repent with bitter tears, and it just didn't happen. So let's be aware of God's presence this Christmas season and not losing. Lord, we just want to say we love You, and we're grateful that You are who You are and that You've saved our souls.